and they walk in with a warrant, boom, and they walk right in, and they throw a complete fit, like they don't have time to erase the tape, nothing. And they get the tape, and they see what she was really doing. And is she being disruptive? Absolutely. Like, everything she was doing was not how you behave, but everything they did in response to it was how you don't respond. And look, we're here in Vegas. What I love is that last night I was sleepy and I was tired and I was down, and he was carrying the whole thing and he was all energized and all into it. Yeah. And now it's like 2:40 in the morning, and I'm doing great.
This guy keeps saying 2:40 in the morning. Really, it's 11:39 p.m.
For you.
Whenever I'm over on there on the fucking East Coast, I'm on your guys' time, and I'm all fucked up, and you guys want me to stay up all late and shit and fucking film podcasts, and I'm all out of my mind. Now you know how I fucking feel when you guys run me through the ringer when I'm over there fucking, you know, bouncing all up and down this fucking coast of Florida filming podcasts. Now you guys are on my time.
That's time.
You want to get up at 5 o'clock this morning and talk loud as fuck, and I'm trying to sleep, and you wake me up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was this morning.
You 5 o'clock this morning, dude.
You have to get... Listen, I baby you. When you stayed at my house, I got you the breakfast. He gave me a list. I was like, hey, do you want any special food? Or I was like, you know, I'm going to groceries. Do you want any special food? Like, I thought he was going to be like, nah, I'm fine. He was gonna be like, yeah, can you get some of this? He had a list. He's like, okay, so this is what I eat in the morning. You need to get me granola, this granola, and I eat this. I need orange juice. I need this. Don't give me the comic pulp. Give me. I mean, he had a whole like list of stuff, and I'm like, at first I thought he was joking. I thought, okay, and then I was like, oh, he's not playing. He's serious. I had to write down this. Boom, this, and I need cream. I mean, I need peanut butter because I like to put a scoop of peanut butter in my oatmeal. And I was like, I gotta go buy you peanut butter? Yeah, bro.
I'm like, you said you already had peanut butter.
Yeah, well, sure. I thought I'd buy it. So, you know, yeah, it was a whole list of things. So I baby you. I pick him up at the airport. So I do everything but rub his feet before he goes, you okay? Is everything okay? I mean, anyway, went and got you a mattress. He wouldn't, like, I was like, well, look, bro, I got a king size bed. You can sleep in the king size bed, you know, with me. It's not a big deal. And he goes, absolutely not. And I went, what are you doing? He's like, that's not happening. And I went, well,
I sleep on the floor with nothing. But a couch cushion.
He said, no. He said, we'll go to
pile of t-shirts.
Where did we go? Was it Walmart?
We went to Wally World and we fucking got a blow up mattress.
Right. And I was like, bro, they're going to blow up mattresses are expensive because they're $20. If that, he said, I've lived in cars. I've lived on the street. I've slept behind fucking, you know, whatever. Everything. He said, I've owned many blow-up mattresses. We can get one. They're $15-$20. They were $15-$20.
Yeah. For the twin.
For the twin.
It wasn't like the, you know, the queen with the double padding and the fucking, you know, all the big...
It was pretty nice, though. No, it wasn't like a regular mattress, though.
No, it was like a twin blow-up mattress. It was super stiff. I mean, but I've slept on many of those things over the years, and they usually last about a week. And then you, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, you just wake up on the floor.
No.
With your arms above you like this, fucking. Your arms and your legs above you like this, but your ass is on the floor.
That one actually is good. Jess's, you know, I'm glad I bought it because Jess's daughter stayed a couple of nights, and so I blew it up, and she slept on that.
Good.
So it's worked out. I mean, I'm glad I... You know, bought it anyway.
Great investment.
Have you, when you were locked up, did you ever sleep in the boat, the canoe?
When I was a juvenile, I had to. When I was at the youth home, when I was a kid, it was like crowded, and I remember sleeping in the canoe in the gym for like a month.
Do you know what the canoe? You guys don't have any idea. So the canoe is, it's basically they. It's a
giant molded piece of plastic that you can put a padded mattress, a padded prison mattress in, so that you're not sleeping directly on the ground.
Right.
But it's only maybe 6 inches.
Right.
You're only maybe like 6 inches off the ground. Yeah. So essentially, you are sleeping on the ground.
Yeah. It's shaped strange, and so what they'll do is
because it curves around the mattress.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's shaped where, and they call them like the canoe or the boat or
call
it's
them hard boats to or canoes. Yeah. And then when you're done, you gotta roll your mattress up. And you gotta stack them all up, And you, at the end of the day, you got to unstack them all, and everybody's got to get their fucking...
Horrible. Horrible. We were talking about... So, that leads me to... Well, like, when you got arrested... You have you ever gone through Oklahoma City? So there's an Oklahoma City. There's a transfer center in when you're in the federal prison system. When you're arrested, you know, it's not like in the movies where like two police officers will put you in a car and they'll drive you across country and buy you, you know, fast food and you guys all have a good old time driving across country to bring you back to your jurisdiction. No, that's not what happens at all. So they arrest you and they put you in a holdover and they transfer you. And the BOP will take as time. They will transfer you. Like if you get caught in California and you have to go to Florida,
so in my,
that could take months.
In my case, this has happened to me twice. The second time was the worst because I started off in Nebraska and I had to get extradited all the way to South Carolina from Nebraska. And so I got arrested in some little fucking podunk town in Nebraska called Columbus, Nebraska. And then they shipped me to Omaha, which is like the big city. And I sat in Omaha for like 2 weeks before they could transfer me to Leavenworth. And I was in Leavenworth for like, I want to say 2 months before they put me on a plane and shipped me to Oklahoma before I went through Oklahoma. And then from Oklahoma, I had to go to Irwin County Jail in Georgia. And I sat there for 3.5 months before they moved me to Atlanta, where I sat in Atlanta for 2.5 weeks before they fucking moved me to South Carolina. So imagine that. Imagine having to run that whole...
gambit.
Yeah, that whole gambit.
Yeah. So when you went to... when you went through Oklahoma City, what was that like? That's the Oklahoma City, like, the transfer center, right? Is that they call it, the transfer center?
It's a prison. But they used like the first three floors as the fucking, it was like to process and transfer prisoners. And they also use it as a designation center as well. So a lot of cats will just go there and get designated,
right.
And then they'll get shipped off to their, you know, prospective prison or whatever they're going to go to.
So when you get put on a plane and they fly you, so they'll fly you to, it's like a hub.
Imagine being shackled on an airplane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's everybody's like, oh, Con Air. Yeah, Con Air was, yeah, it was a cute movie, but that's not what's happening.
The Nicolas Cage movie, that's not reality. In reality, it's just like a regular airplane you get on, like an American Airlines plane, but it's all white, and it's got the black numbers on the tail, and you get in there, and it's like a regular fucking airplane, except for there's dudes with shotguns,
mm-hmm.
and you got your ankles are, you got handcuffs on your ankles together, you got handcuffs on your hands, your waist has got a chain around it. Your ankles are chained to your waist, and your wrists are chained to your waist, which is all locked together.
And you're connected to, like, well, yeah. No, you're not necessarily connected to. Like, I don't.
They put the boxes on you when you get on there.
Yeah, but I'm
so
saying.
Then they put these black boxes that fold like this over your handcuffs.
Right. So you can't twist that your handcuffs at all. So it's not. Yeah. It's a black box.
Yeah, so now and you put your hands out like this, and then you got your cuffs on. And you slide inside of this black box, and they close the black box, right. And they lock it on
and
your
so
cuffs,
now,
and then they chain your wrist to your waist.
Right, so you're like this, so they're digging into your arms, extremely uncomfortable, and they're moving you around. Climb up them stairs,
and then
they
give you a bologna sandwich, and you got to eat that motherfucker like this on the airplane.
Right,
and you're fucking hitting turbulence, and fucking motherfuckers are all over the place. Yeah,
you get a little juice box like a little kid, trying to put a straw in a juice box.
Yeah,
and yeah, so.
That's fun.
So you get on the plane.
I had to do that twice.
So you get on the plane. You go to Oklahoma City, and they pull the plane right up to the building. And so they unload 150 or 200 guys directly into the prison. And you're all chained up walking in line with these guys with shotguns. And it's such a, like... A factory, you know, it's like an assembly line. Like
yeah.
you're just one of many guys, and you can tell that the marshals, like they don't care. They could care less. They're just not that they're supposed to, you know, be hugging you and telling you it's all going to be okay. I mean, you're still, you know, criminals, but the point is that it's just so. It's so. I hate to say, like, you know, I was in love with Nazi efficiency. It's such an efficient, it's an efficient movement of 200 people.
If you've ever seen like inside of like a where they process cattle, where they kill cattle, because I have. When I lived in Nebraska, I worked for a place called Cargill. And if you look up the company Cargill, they're one of the largest manufacturer processors of beef cattle in the country, or largest companies. And I worked on the kill floor in Cargill. And, so I used to watch them do like 500-600 head a night. And they just bring them in and pop, 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 pop. Bam, lift them up, gone. Bring more in, pop, 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 pop. Just straight down the line, killing all these cats just like it was nothing. And that's what, it kind of, like when I was working there, this was right before I had gone to fucking, through Oklahoma. When I got to Oklahoma, that's what I had flashbacks of, was working on the kill floor at the cattle fucking place. When I was in that hallway, we were all going down that hallway. I was like, fuck, dude, this is just like that.
Yeah.
I could imagine that's probably what it was like in fucking Nazi Germany in World War II when they were fucking...
Yeah, you're just funneled through like cattle.
Yeah, and right into the gas chamber, and that's it.
So you're funneled through the hallway, and as you go through the hallway, the we're talking about this last night. They were the marshals are so good at taking the handcuffs and shackles off of you. They have like steps as you go up the steps, like
it's like a plywood stage they built,
right? And so you walk up, five or six guys at a time climb up.
No, just one. You walk up two steps and you stand on this like plywood platform, and they all your shackles just fall off of you magically.
Yeah, they're so like they're literally hitting boom, 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 whoosh, and they just come off. Like they take them off like it's like, and there's it's the fastest thing.
There's a pile 3 feet high of fucking shackles and handcuffs.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as what I remember was, it was like five guys sitting in a row, and they would have like next, and there'd be like five guys.
No, you're right. You got a better memory than me.
So there five guys would stand up, and they would all. And they take them and they get like yank them off, like you're like, and then they're like, next, you walk off, a guy gives you a bologna sandwich, this is it. Here's your dinner, and then they put you into a room, and the room has
stainless steel diamond plated sheets
the whole walls. Room is like just, and it's a big room, like it's a big room, and they jam you in there, and so you're all standing in there side by side, like sitting there. I remember we were in there. This is funny. So when I was in it, so I remember being in there, and there was a black guy that was in there, looked like a bodybuilder. I remember thinking, Jesus, God, is this what these guys are going to look like? He had gold teeth, and they had fangs. And I'd never seen that, where they actually had gold teeth with fangs. And he's sitting there, and you know, he's just like looking around, and he looks over, he's like, what's up? Like that. And I just saw the fang, and I thought, oh my God, it's Blade. He was there, and we're all sitting around just standing there. You know, you don't talk a lot too much because you're kind of, you know, but they put you in the room and they close the door. Well, there was an old man that was there. It turns out he's like a Cho, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember he's standing there, and he's looking around going, well, how long are they going to keep us in here? He's probably in his 70s. How long are they going to keep us in here?
I could imagine going through that at that age.
Oh, God. And so we're all sitting there, and we're like, well, it's going to be a while. It's probably going to be a while. And guys are like, yeah, bro, it's going to be hours. We'll be in here for 4 or 5 hours. He's like, well, there's nowhere to sit. And they're like, yes, yeah, just the way it is. Like, and then so finally, and everybody's looking at him kind of like, how did you get here? Like, how is this all... Why would you arrest this old man? And so I don't know what's going on in this federal system. I have no idea. So I'm sitting there, and the black guy goes, hey, Pops. He's like, yeah. And he goes, why are you locked up? And the old guy goes, I don't know. He said, it has something to do with my granddaughter. He said, she and one of her friends, you know, she's one of them gays. And she and one of her friends, they wanted me to video them, you know, doing stuff, and so I videoed them, and now they're saying now I'm in that video. They put it on the internet, and they were selling them and stuff, and so now I'm He goes, now I'm, all right, that's what they said, something about that. I'm not sure what I did. And I'm sitting there thinking, he's in his 70s. Huh. And the black guy looks over at me and he goes, huh. He goes, that sound right to you? And I said, that doesn't sound right. Like, something's up. Like, that didn't seem normal. And he goes, hey, Pops, he said, how's your granddaughter? Oh, she's young. She's young. She's got to be 14, 15. I think she's 15 now. But that other video, she was about 14 years old. But, you know, she's one of them gays. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, I don't know much about the federal system, but I know something ain't right. I can't imagine. Hey, Grandpa, can you video us doing that? Something's not right about the story, he said. But that's fine. That's the story. So the black guy goes, Pops, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems in here. And then he's wandering around and he goes, I have to go to the restroom. He goes up to the door and he goes to open the door. You know, there's 60, 80 guys crammed in this room. You know, we're packed in pretty tight. He grabs the door and he goes, hey, they got us locked up in here.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely. And we fucking bawled laughing. Half the room that heard it starts dying laughing. And I was like, yeah, there's going to be a lie. I have a feeling like I just only been locked up a couple weeks at that point, maybe a month. And I said, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of locked doors for quite a while.
Huh.
He just started dawning. And then they were like, hey, you got to go. What's the problem? He's like, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. They go, there's a toilet over there. So I mean, he's like, oh, he's looking around like, I'm supposed to just go to the bathroom in front of 80 guys? Yeah. Yeah, you just pull it out and take a piss right now in front of 80 guys. That's the way it is from here on out.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah. And so you were there for what? 2 weeks? How long were you there? I was there like 10 days, I think, or 2 weeks.
I was there 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yep.
Yeah. So they put you in a room. It's packed. The whole place is packed. And listen, I remember when I went to, I was still taking Paxil. So they had to give me Paxil. So I went to Pill Line. And so I go to, you know, Pill Line. They call you for Pill Line. And I go in. I say, hey, you know, I got a prescription for Paxil I need. And the woman goes, she goes, what's your reg number? And I went, I don't have any idea what my reg number, what does that mean? She goes, what's your regulation number? What's your assignment number? And I went, I don't know. I said, shoot, I don't know. I don't have it memorized. And she goes, well, you better get it memorized because you're going to be here for a while. And I just, the way she said it was just like, you're a scumbag. And I was like, okay. She goes, what's your name? They talk to you like you're just a dog.
Yeah.
And you know, she got it. And I walked out. I was like, man, I can't believe that woman. I talked to this mobster. I used to talk to him all the time. And I was like, man, the way they talk to you, bro. He's like, oh, yeah, they're scum. They're this, they're that. They're dirtbag. I mean, you know, he's a typical guy from New York who'd been through trial 2 or 3 times. He was an interesting guy. And he was like, oh, they're dirty bastard. You know, they just go like, you know, kind of like Tommy. He's just always just bashing. So Oklahoma City, like, sucked. I was there a couple weeks. And then they put me on the plane. They flew me to... Atlanta, Georgia.
Were you at the USP? Or were you at Lovejoy?
Back when I went, I've been to Lovejoy.
I've been to both.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and I've been to the USP.
I've been to both.
Yeah. But I was housed in Union City. They closed it down. The U.S. Marshals canceled their contract because there were so many lawsuits at Union City. So they stopped letting them house their inmates there. Like, the U.S. Marshals will get a contract with a local sheriff's department who runs the jails. And so instead of them building a facility and saying, this is our facility, we're just going to subcontract your facility. So you're locked up in a county jail. You just happen to be in your own little wing. And they take care of you. So that's what happened. So I was in Union City and there were so many violations. Listen, so bad, at one point there was lice. And here's what they did. When they had lice, you think, oh, well, they treat these guys okay, right? Yeah, they do. That's it's fine. You can barely there's barely enough to eat, and it's usually just completely disgusting. And yeah, you never go outside, and it's horrible. And they treat you like you're just complete scum. And they forget to give people their pills and all kinds of stuff. But here's what they did: they had lice. So to defume everything or to get rid of the lice, they brought everybody out. They took all the stuff from you, all of your. Your sheets, your bed sheets, your clothes, or you're in there naked. You're all standing there naked. And then they brought in these cans, and they had the cans wrapped up with paper. Like they had paper around it and they had tape on it. They walked in, put all of us into our different cells. It was small units, like 55 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like whatever, 7 or 8 guys per room. And then there's different rooms. They walked.
So they rubbed this on your junk and your head.
No. Well, they sprayed us down. They sprayed everybody down with this disinfectant shit. Then they brought in these cans and they put the cans in the middle of the room. They said, "Stand by your bunks. We're going to defume the whole room, and it defumes you, and you'll be good." And they turned on the cans and fogged up the whole thing while you sat there. And it was basically like a raid camp. They fogged up the whole place, told everybody they'd be fine. I had a headache for 2 days, slept for 12 hours.
That's fucking insane.
It's insane. And that's just, it's just like, it was like a, it didn't say rape. They had it taped off so you couldn't see what it was. One of the guys in another room said that one of those guys took the thing and it was like a fumer that you put in your house to defume for like
you have to vacate the house.
Yeah, you have to vacate the house and they would defume it for like fleas, right? They put that thing in there, and here's the thing, is that
I would sue the fuck out of them.
Yeah, but you don't get, like, it's your word against theirs. They're saying it's not. And here's the thing, it's for fleas. It's not for lice. Like, what are you doing? How do you even know this works? Like, you've got guys that
where was this at?
This was in Union City,
Georgia. Listen, I'm telling you, man. I was in Irwin County, Georgia. Dude, that place was fucking, it was insane. There's never that movie Escape from LA with fucking Snake Bliskin. That's when they put you on the unit. That's how it is in that motherfucker. You're like, what in the fuck? Dude, motherfuckers got shit from the street. Just motherfuckers got hot plates and shit next to their fucking bunk. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you're not supposed to have any of that.
That's the first time I ever seen anybody shoot up inside the jail, like in jail. Like, they had syringes and they were shooting up on the fucking unit. I mean, motherfuckers had hot plates in that motherfucker. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. Cell phones and you know what I was going to tell you was,
something I was going to say about, Oklahoma City when I was there is that's the first time I ever seen anybody with their whole head tattooed, and it fucking freaked me out. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was scared of that dude. Like, I wouldn't even go anywhere near him when he was on the unit.
I knew a guy. I was in prison. Now I saw
look
a guy.
At me.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Listen, I knew a guy who had his fucking eyelids tattooed. Like, his whole face the eyelid, like, it was...
I probably seen the same guy.
Yeah.
Real tall white boy.
Yeah, white guy.
Yeah. I know that guy.
Yeah, he's tall. Some of these guys are in that system their entire life.
They're in the whole fucking... Yeah. Yeah,
they're everywhere. So, what I was going to say is, Union City, one of the big things that happened with them was there was a lawsuit where there was a girl, young girl, 19, 20 years old, well, whatever, 21, I don't know, young, got arrested for being drunk. It's a county jail. Right, so she gets processed, sent to the jail,
mm-hmm.
She's only going to be there overnight, but she starts getting lippy with the guards and yelling at them and screaming at them, and then she's in the, you know, this is a privileged, you know, young white chick who's locked up, and she's furious and she's banging on the door and screaming, and she won't stop screaming, yelling to be like, "You can't hold me here." Like, people are shocked that you can put me in a room and lock the door. Like, people are like, they're like, you understand it until it happens, and then it's this realization, you start to think, "No, wait a minute, you're not allowed to do this.
You stick them in a cage and then they realize they can't get out and they start fucking
right, they crazy. Go nuts. So she's going nuts in there. So they tell her, "If you don't calm down, we're going to put you in the chair." And she's like,
"You don't want the chair, boss?"
Yeah. She screams and hollers so much. She doesn't know what they're talking about. So finally they come in, they mace her to get her to calm down, which I don't know how that calms you down, but it definitely makes you compliant. So they mace her, they bring in the chair, which is a chair that's actually on the ground. It's actually, you're actually almost sitting on the ground. You're kind of, your legs are like this, and you're shackled down. So it's like a molded plastic.
And they put a hood over your head.
They shackle her, and they put the they shackle her, and they put and they chain her down. Like, you cannot move. So now she's sitting there screaming and hollering. Somehow or another, something happened, and they shaved her head. So she's in that. They put her in the hallway where she's just so everybody can watch her. So they can. So she's there, and she's screaming and hollering and yelling, and they're like, "You need to calm down. You need to calm down." And somebody at some point must have said something like, "Hey, we're going to shave your head if you don't calm down." And she's like, "Ah," and she's calling everybody names and "fuck you" and this and that, and "You can't do this," and "I'm going to sue you," and "My daddy's a lawyer," and "My daddy." Well, it turns out her daddy was a lawyer. So they end up on film. They grab a razor and this little blonde-haired, you know, middle class, 22-year-old or 19-year-old, whatever she is, they come over and they shave her head. And she is just, like, flipped out. So guess what? The next morning, when daddy's lawyer shows up and she's got a shaved head and she's in tears.
Shaking, crying.
Crying, shaking, traumatized at this point. The lawyer right then, like, they had no idea who this little girl is. Like, you could do that to some underprivileged person and get away with it. But there's a whole team of lawyers connected with this chick. Immediately, they go, he says nothing to them. Okay, no, I understand. Oh, she was just, I understand. Not a problem. We're going to take, don't worry. She's this, it's not a big deal. Immediately goes to a judge and gets a warrant to come back and grab the video before they can destroy the video or say, yeah, that camera doesn't work. What are you talking about? No. So they can't get, they don't have time to get their story straight. And they come in and they walk in with a warrant, boom, and they walk right in, and they throw a complete fit, like they don't have time to erase the tape, nothing. And they get the tape and they see what she was really doing. And is she being disruptive? Absolutely. Like, everything she was doing was not how you behave, but everything they did in response to it was how you don't respond. And she's allowed to be a maniac, a drunken maniac. You're not allowed to mace me, put me in a chair for 12 hours, shave my head, have me have to go to the bathroom in the chair. Like, there's all these, like, she didn't harm anybody. So that was one of the lawsuits that was against this place. Like, I mean, that was just like nonstop lawsuits. And then that was the one that somebody later told me, like, one of the lawsuits was so bad, it was so egregious that they ended up, that they didn't close the whole thing. They just removed it. The marshal said, you can't hold our guys anymore. Like, we can't be associated with the way you're running this jail. We're not saying to stop. We're saying we don't want to be involved. You can keep treating people like crap.
It's pretty bad because the feds, they don't really give a fuck, dude.
Yeah, they. Well, so the marshals aren't
bad. Whatever they were doing.
The marshals aren't too bad. Like, compared to the BOP?
Dude, the marshals put a note in my file to keep me on fucking a hard pod where there's 23-1. I wasn't allowed on, like, an open fucking pod.
Oh, okay.
I was being held. The marshals put that in my file so that we have you 23-1, so I can only come out 1 hour a day, and you either had to use the phone or you had to take a shower. Yeah, you couldn't do both.
Yeah, you don't have time.
Because there's a line for both. So you either had to stand in line and get on the phone to call somebody, or you had to take a shower, but you couldn't do both. So you couldn't. Yeah, it was a nightmare. And then it's right back to the cell, and it was a tiny cell, dude, where I was at. Fucking, they were small.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
No radios. Atlanta no City. TV. No radios.
Did you ever go through Atlanta City?
Atlanta City.
I mean, sorry. I'm sorry. Through Atlanta, through the Penn in Atlanta. Atlanta Penn.
The USP?
Yeah.
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 I was in the
transfer center.
I was in Atlanta USP for a month. 4 weeks. They kept, I don't know what it was. They overbooked the fucking, the transport or whatever. And I got there and they were like, we got to get on the next one. And they only come every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I missed the one on the 2 weeks. I got there, like, so no, this is how fucked up it was. I got there on the day the one left, but it left in the morning and I got there that night. So I waited 2 weeks and then they overbooked the second one. So I had to wait another 2 weeks. And mind you, when you're in the shoe in Atlanta, you don't get commissary. I mean, you do, but it's very limited.
Yeah.
It's like coffee, Snickers, a honey bun, and soups. Yeah. And that's it. Like, you don't get the full
commissary. You get enough food that you can eat in, like, a day.
Yeah.
Like, in a day, if maybe 2 days if you really draw it out, but it's gone.
Oh, I used to eat half a Snicker and save the other half for tomorrow after dinner. That's because that's how I used to do it. So I'd have something sweet to eat the next day. Because after dinner, we were doing shit. And I would have that half a Snicker, and I would get that little sugar rush, and I'd lay down and read my book, and then, you know, till the next day. And I would get out of the cell like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the next day until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I'd be back in the cell until the very next day. And I did that for like 13 months.
What are you doing? So.
We can cut that out. I don't want that in there. It's ridiculous.
All right, so.
But yeah.
We're so good.
Good times.
Good times. All right. Well.
All right, well.
This is a video.
That's how we're going to end it.
That's how we're ending it. If you like the video, hit, you know, subscribe, like the video, leave a comment.
Don't do any of that.
Share it.
Don't share it.
And
don't hit the like button.
That's it.
I give a fuck less if you subscribe.
See, that's upsetting that he said that. All right, we're good. See ya.